several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape. Crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
And it's Grape Encounters Radio, your wine captain for the day, David Wilson here. God, I'm in such a good mood today. I have so many fun things happening, I can't even begin to tell you. It's going to be a family affair at the Wilson House. My father is having a landmark birthday, and I hesitate to say which one it is just because he may give me a raft of you-know-what if I reveal his age. But it's going to be a great time because the brothers Wilson are going to be there. My brother Bob coming in from North Carolina, my brother Steve from Mendocino County. And you know what happens every time the family gets together? We always get on the subject of making wine. I think since as long as I've been able to drink, we've been pondering the idea of having a Wilson Brothers winery, and of course, including Dad in on that. We grew up in the country, and we actually had a lot of real estate that we could have planted grapes on, but Dad decided to go into raising horses instead. So while we didn't have a vineyard, we do have a lot of fertilizer to this day. So that's something anyway. I think the reason that we haven't gone into the wine business is I just don't think that we would have been able to figure out who was going to do what and agree on much, because we all have very different ideas about wine. My brother Bob and Dad both believe that you shouldn't pay more than $2 for a bottle of wine. I believe that money is no object, and Brother Steve thinks you should only drink wines from Mendocino County. Now, having said that, on the show today, I'm going to have a couple of guests on that are all about family winemaking operations. And in fact, we're going to, in the coming weeks, do some other segments like that as well. But my favorite, and I mean favorite, family winemaking operation, a family that does get along and gets it right, is the Sarlos family out in Los Olivos. And I am so privileged, as always, to have my buddy Keith Sarlos join us to talk about family winemaking. Keith, I'm sorry you can't be here in the super secret broadcast location, but we got you on the phone. Thanks. It's so nice to hear your voice again.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Congratulations to you and your family.
For what?
Birthdays.
Well, you know, yeah, it's as you get older, it's just good luck that you actually make it to a birthday, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you haven't died yet out there in the vineyard, and I know that you're working your fingers to the bone, and it's been, how long since you opened up the tasting room? A couple of years now?
Yeah, about 2 years now, and things are going pretty well. I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, and everybody's still getting along. This is the thing that amazes me about your family, is that you guys remind me of a television family when you go over there. Everybody's just so loving and happy. Is that just the Sarlos is putting on a front, or do you actually get along that well behind the scenes?
You know, David, the funny thing to tell you is we don't know how to do anything differently. My grandfather worked with his dad for a little bit. My great-grandfather passed away pretty young, but my dad, my uncle, and my grandfather worked together for 50 years. I grew up taking out the trash and sitting there kind of at their feet while they were working together, and that was always the example of how you work with your family. I mean, you have to have a real short memory. You can get upset about things, but nothing leaves that room, and it's not personal.
Yeah, you know, but it's different today. For one thing, I'm amazed at how many families don't require their kids to work anymore. You know, the kids just do their homework, and And then they get to play on the computer or do their video games. And when I was a kid, we were always working. I mean, literally from the time the sun went up, or from the time the sun came up to the time that we went to bed, certainly on the weekends, we had chores.
Exactly.
Do your kids have chores?
I started pushing a broom in a warehouse when I was 9. My daughter is in here at the tasting room constantly talking to people. I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but I learned at a very young age that the things you want come from hard work. And my dad, you know, I really didn't have an allowance growing up, but I always had a job. And if I wanted to work, that's where you earned money. And we do that with our kids as well. And I think that's one of those things where you realize, a great example, my daughter a little while ago said she wanted something that she saw on television. I said, okay, let's go up and count your money. We went up into her room to open her piggy bank and counted out how much that thing would be. And I said, do you want that thing or do you want to keep your money? And she said, I want to keep my money. And I said, great, you've learned a valuable lesson. And That's kind of how we do it in our family.
Well, and when you're making wine, There's no place for argumentation, for starters. And you can't put things aside to settle disagreements. Every day there's something important you have to do, right?
We have 365 ticking time bombs, and every day is very, very important.
And it's amazing to me, you can blow it in a single day, can't you,
for
the whole year?
Absolutely.
So tell me about the division of labor in the Sarlos family. How do you do it? Because there's a lot of people involved.
Oh, yeah. You know, here's the quick list. Even Brad Sarlos, my cousin, who you've met a few times, he just graduated from college last week, Friday, started working here last week, Saturday. So Brad's part of the organization now. How it kind of goes is my dad is in charge of farming, and we use the three-person method. That's how we've always used it. Two people have to agree in order to do anything. So my dad's out in the vineyard, and then I consult with him, and my uncle consults with him. We all kind of share that work, but my dad's kind of the champion of the vineyard, if you will.
Yeah.
In the winery, you know, it's me and then Harv and my dad and Brad, and we all kind of talk together. And then when we taste wine with mom and dad and aunts and uncles and cousins and Tyler and Katie, who you know really well. And everybody's opinion gets, you know, equal footing. Then we talk about the tasting room and the way look and feel and style. That's my wife. All the beautiful plants out front, the way, you know, anything alive, I think, is a nice way to put it. That's my mom. My Uncle Harv, we like to call Mission Control because he's the guy you make a phone call when you need a piece of paper, and he'll have it emailed to you before you get off the phone. So it's really like a wagon wheel. And in order for this wheel to roll, we have lots of spokes, and the more spokes you have, the stronger it is.
Did this division of labor just evolve, or did you sit down when you decided to be in the business?
No. You know, Sarlos rarely make decisions. We have decisions forced upon us.
Okay.
So when we sit down, you know, it's just who wants to be the champion of it, you know? Who wants to be the go-to guy?
Does anybody ever say, no, I don't want to do that?
No, it's not really, you know? There's so many diverse, beautiful things, and there's just so much work to be done that if you're the kind of guy who wants to lean on a shovel, you're going to get left, and you're going to get left behind quick. But if you're the kind of guy who wants to get a bunch of stuff done today, there's always more needs to be done than we possibly have time for.
I'm talking to my buddy Keith Sarlos, Sarlos & Sons, a family winemaking operation, which, you know, what's amazing about Sarlos is you guys have got it right from the very start. It's true, but literally with your first releases of wine to the public, I know it wasn't the first wines that you made, but the first ones that you released to the public, they were a grand slam home run.
That's very nice.
And beloved wines from the get-go. And it's just amazing when I watch your operation. I'm very envious of what you do there, and especially how the winery brings the whole family together. We're going to, this week and in the coming weeks, talk to a number of family-operated winemaking concerns. And I think the story is going to be similar with all of them. If your family has the ability to work together and collaborate in that way. Winemaking is a great way to really work together as a family, isn't it?
And I can tell you what the key to success is. The key to success in our family, and I think in every family I've come across that does work together, we put it into a kind of a little creed or a saying, is which we live to honor those that have come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come.
Okay.
So my job is you have to perfectly live selflessly, and you have to honor people that got you to the point you're sitting in right now. And every day you get up and go to work, it's because of your kids, and you want to provide a safe and awesome place for them to grow
Keith,
up if they so choose to work
there. That is so awesome. Thanks for setting the tone for today's Grape Encounters Radio.
Well,
I so appreciate it. Keith Sarlos.
Man, when you need a Wilson's Brothers wine, you give me a call. We'll make one.
I'm going to call you after the show, Keith.
Let's
Thanks so much. And I'm thrilled to tell you that Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, offering the ultimate in products for wine lovers everywhere.
The glass is still half full, and there's a lot more in the bottle. It's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
If your wine could talk, do you know what it would say? It would say, I need air, I'm suffocating. You know, how come so many people open up their wine and just pour it straight into the glass? Not a great idea, especially when there are a whole bunch of ways to aerate that wine. Well, recently, I was sent a product by a company called VinAir. It's V-I-N-A-I-R-E. And I'm going to tell you, this really is one of the best aeration systems I have ever seen. I don't know of any device that does a better job than this one. Truly an excellent design. So many of the aeration devices end up in a mess all over your counter. This one is designed so there's no drip, and it'll actually sit right on top of the bottle when you're through using it. I love it, love it, love it, love it. I'm not just saying it. If you want to know more about VinAir, go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the VinAir link. This is a little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to SarlosAndSons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's SarlosAndSons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world. As I look back over the last year and a half, it's amazing to me how many of the guests that we've had on Grape Encounters Radio came to us through Facebook. You know, it's staggering how big the wine-loving community is on Facebook. And we really, really want you to become a member of the Grape Encounters Radio group page. So please, next time you're on Facebook, just search for Grape Encounters Radio. You'll find our group page and join the crowd and join the fun. You're going to discover a whole lot of really interesting people there. And if you just peruse the posts on Grape Encounters Radio, I think you'll make some additional friends that will really, really expand your wine-loving experience. Again, it's Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. It's the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page, and we really, really want you to become our friend. And by the way, when you're there, let us know topics that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio. And it's David Wilson here with Brooks Firestone and Stephen Pepe, and we wanted to tell you about the Cellar Classic. It's coming up when, Brooks?
July 30th at the St. Mark's Church in Los Olivos, in the middle of the wine country in Santa Ynez Valley. We're going to have a wine classic auction and a great time up here. Hope you join us.
And there's going to be some great stuff. Steve, tell them what they can expect.
You're going to have some really world-class wines. You've got a 47 Cheval Blanc, a 75 Chateau.
Whoa. I thought that was for me.
No, I'm sorry, David. You can just look at it and drool, but you can't have it.
And that bottle's worth what?
It's easily in the mid four figures, if not higher.
Ouch. And how many wines like that will you have at the Cellar Classic?
We'll have a fair number. We've also got a 1949 Leroy Moussonet, which is a very rare wine. We've got a double magnum of a 1989 Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill.
It's the Cellar Classic on July 30th. For more information, go to grapeencountersradio.com and click on the very expensive little button there.
You're not daydreaming. You're just having a grape encounter on grapeencountersradio.com.
And it's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio. And let me ask you this. Have you ever had a dream to just pull up stakes, ship everything you own off to Europe, and do something really wacky, like operate a winery in Italy? Seem far-fetched? Well, maybe it isn't. Here's Paul Crosswhite with his perspective.
What is your dream of dreams? Flying into Europe's wine country for a day filled with the sights and scents of rolling hills, neat rows of grapes, scenic drives through the Italian wine region of Tuscany, strolling through ancient cellars, tasting spectacular spumante? Or better yet, how about living in Italy's wine country? Wake up to 1,000 Tuscan mornings of grapes and saffron and olive blossoms in the air and good friends at the vineyard and living the life of the true winemaker. There, that's it. The dream. Moving to Italy's romantic wine country. To stay. To work the earth. To elicit the elixir amid incredible beauty. But how do you get there from here? How to find out if the wine life is truly for you? Well, for openers, experts say lose the daydream of kicking back with a glass of Chianti at Easy Vineyards after a day of short hours. The wine industry is hands-on, hard-working, and fiercely competitive, just like any other business. Many positions require higher education. Thus, a good place to scratch is hospitality work in or near winemaking. Such work could help you see if the vintage life is for you. So back to specifics. To toil in Tuscany, you must have your work papers in order. Get a good Italian accountant to assist you. Get your employment deal in writing. Even though today's Italian job scene is tight, remember, you speak fluent English, highly prized in the Italian job market. Your English, in fact, may open more doors for you than your degree. The ancient Tuscan towns of Montepulciano and Montalcino are famous wine-producing centers with many firms that export to America. These towns are great places to prospect for work. The inns, bed and breakfasts, farms, villas, spas, schools, restaurants, and vineyards of Italy's wine country are always looking for fluent English-speaking people who are computer and internet savvy. Many companies there hire English speakers as language teachers, translators, managers, office help, waitstaff, or marketers, or to lead tours and painting and art classes. You'll also find potential job leads by clicking to the Italian yellow pages at intoitaly.it and entering the search word Tuscany. You can call in a local Italian tourist office or right here at home apply for a college wine scholarship courtesy of the American Society for Enology and Viticulture, a wonderful resource for getting into the wine industry. And you can go online and hit up a specific vineyard. Some very cool winery jobs and internships are listed on the internet by vintners around the globe, including many here in California. Wine marketing jobs abound. You could trade your stuffy sales cubicle for the lush life in wine country here or abroad. So many ways to go to see if you have the ripe stuff for an industry made in heaven. Uncorked, I'm Paul Crosswhite for Grape Encounters.
Well, if Paul hasn't convinced you that anything is possible, you've got to hear this next interview. Recently, we were invited to an incredible trade wine tasting by Wine Warehouse, and we caught up with an American who really is living the life in Italy. And we're back with Grape Encounters Radio, and I'm going to make a confession to listeners right here and now. I want you to know I do like some chick flicks. I do. People often ask me if there's a wine-related movie that I like the most. And it's not really a wine-related movie, but I think it kind of is in an obscure sort of way, and it's Under the Tuscan Sun. It's definitely a chick flick. But anyway, I've got sitting in front of me somebody who's really living that dream, man. It's Tim Grace. And Tim, you got to explain this story. You and your family live in Tuscany, but you're from the States.
From Ohio. My dad is from an old steel town, Steubenville, Ohio, and my mom's from Cleveland. But we moved over to Europe when I was three, and yet I still speak with this accent. And by the way, I have a confession too. I haven't read or seen Under the Tuscan Sun.
Well, you know, you should really do that. It's a great movie. But your winemaking operation is Il Molino di Grace. Tell me about it. You're outside of Florence?
If you look at a map, we're in a little town called Panzano, and it is literally halfway between Florence and Siena.
And the size of your winery?
We do about 27,000 cases a year. So, I mean, one of the obstacles we have, you know, with being American, making wine in Italy, is sometimes people, they think, oh, you know, Americans making wine in Italy, it's a nice hobby for you guys. You know, we're a small family-owned winery, but it's 27,000 cases. It's still small, but it's more than a hobby.
Although there are a lot of small wineries in Italy, are they not compared to here? How big would you be in the grand scheme of things?
Still small.
Still small?
Still small, yeah.
Give me a little bit of background here. The family started Il Molino di Grace.
Yeah, what had happened was when we were young and we moved over in the late 60s to England in the middle of nowhere, one of the first vacations we ever took as a family was to this little town called Greve in Chianti, which is the little town right next to us. And my parents, being from small town Ohio and Cleveland, they just had never, ever seen anything like this. And we just kept going back and back and back.
Wine-drinking family?
Ooh, yeah. Did I mention we're Irish?
Yeah, you did, but you said we weren't going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Secret. Don't tell.
Is that even legal to be Irish and make wine?
You know what?
I actually got
interviewed with somebody doing a book on Irish winemakers abroad.
Okay.
I don't know how big it's going to be.
Yeah, that's kind of a niche book, I think.
Yeah.
Where do your wines go?
You know, the Asian markets are huge. Russia's very big, Germany, the UK. Most Italian winemakers sell more wine outside of Italy than in Italy. I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is that Italy is actually our biggest market. The U.S. is our second biggest market, of course.
Tell me about the Asian market for a minute. Getting stronger every day?
It's getting stronger every day. I think it's a market where, like any market, but particularly more so there, you have to have the right partners and honestly, patience. I go to Japan every year, and I think the thing that most impresses me about Japan is they love traditional style Italian wines. They really understand traditional Italian wine, and not just from what they've read in a book. You know, I go there and people ask such interesting, detailed questions, but it really is all about tradition there. Whereas sometimes here, I get told not to even use the word.
It's Tim Grace from Il Molino di Grace, family-operated winery in Tuscany. And I just got to know, what was the reception that the family got when they first started making wines there? Did people come with torches and pitchforks and try to run you out of town? Or
no.
Was that blasphemous for American Irish Catholics to make wine in Italy?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, we certainly count most of the producers there and people there as friends, but it's like a little town anywhere. You know, and then in Italy, somebody's always going to be feuding. You know, my parents got very involved in the local church, and life's been good to us, and they helped with the retrofit of the church after a couple years of living there.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it wasn't wine. I thought people were going to embrace us because, in my naivete, that we were making traditional style Italian wine. It was more when my parents became involved in the community, really through the church. You know, like there is everywhere in Italy, there's a church where you drive into their house, and that's at the foot of the lane, and they just started to get involved. And that's really, you know, you start getting involved in the community, and I think people respect that.
How many family members are involved in the winery?
Like, I'd include my mom, so the my parents and me.
They're still going strong.
Yeah.
Who's the winemaker?
There's four of us at the winery that do this, but we work with a famous enologist in Italy called Franco Bernabei, and then it's a committee of four. He's the chemist.
What varietals are you making?
So when we bought the property a couple decades ago, and we built the winery in the property, they were just selling the grapes to local producers. There's been vineyards there for hundreds of years. So we had Sangiovese, of course, and then Cabernet, Syrah, Trebbiano, et cetera, Merlot. Well, we never wanted to make a crazy Super Tuscan that didn't taste like it was from there, so I tore out the Cabernet and the Syrah. And basically, the only other varietal I kept other than Sangiovese was Merlot, because Merlot is a very nice blending grape. They all are nice blending grapes for Sangiovese, but Merlot still allows Sangiovese to shine.
Okay, so I'm guessing, you know, you tap into the brain trust there in the area.
Yep.
Successful right out of the chute?
Well,
I mean, in terms of the quality of the wine.
We were in Italy. I don't know if your viewers or you know of Gambaroso, which is kind of like the Italian Wine Spectator. So
sure.
We were their emerging winery of the year when we started. One of our wines, we got their highest rating, which is 1% of Italian wine get Tre Bicchieri. It was the first vintage that they'd ever given, a first vintage wine to a Tre Bicchieri. We've gotten this highest rating almost every year. In Italy, we hit the ground running.
That had to be a great high, I'm guessing.
Oh, it was a huge ego boost. You know, we've made many mistakes along the way, and we'll continue to do it. But honestly, working with Franco Bernabei was one of the best decisions we made. And also making wine that tasted like it was from this place. The best compliment I've ever gotten in any of my wines was just with our normal Chianti Classico, and I tasted with a buyer in Chicago a couple weeks ago, and she smelled it and she said, oh man, this reminds me of when I was in Tuscany last summer. And I thought, you cannot have a better compliment on your wine. Reminds her of a place, especially speaking with my accent, I think we've accomplished our goal.
Hey, Tim, I really appreciate it. It's Tim Grace, Il Molino di Grace. Website, is it easy to find?
www.ilmolinodegrace.com.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad to have you on.
Thanks, David.
Congratulations to you for living the dream. I so respect what you are doing.
Appreciate it.
What a life. And what a time we're having on Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here. Lots more to talk about. Where are we going to go next?
Where fermented meets demented. Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson on grapeencountersradio.com.
Looking for a really good wine club to join? I really recommend the original Wine of the Month Club. It's a really terrific wine club, and you will find a link to the Wine of the Month Club over at grapeencountersradio.com. This isn't a shameless paid endorsement. We're endorsing the Wine of the Month Club because we really, really believe in what they're doing over there, and we really think the quality of their products are out of this world. Also, just for fun, on grapeencountersradio.com, you will find a link to Papa Burt's, where you will find the wine sports bra. Yes, indeedy, it's a bra that you can fill up with a full bottle of your favorite wine. It is simply the best invention that we've found in a long time. So check out what we've got to offer over at grapeencountersradio.com, and be sure to also visit all of our other friends who are linked to grapeencountersradio.com. Check it out, folks. Hey, listen, if you guys want to discover some really amazing wines, wines that I recommend with all my heart and soul, then you need to go over to sarlosandsons.com. Or better yet, if you're in Los Olivos, California, you just want to check out their tasting room, because it's an incredible place to taste some incredible wines. They've just released the 2009 Mother, which is a Grenache Blanc that will blow your shorts off. Also, the 2009 In-Law, which is a whole cluster Pinot Noir, which is to die for. Also, the 2008 Father, which is 100% Syrah, and I love, love, love the Sarlos & Sons Syrahs, or the 2008 Sun, which is 100% estate-grown Cabernet. And finally, the 1947 Man and Wife, which is 100% estate-grown from two vineyards. That's just a part of the list. There are so many more wines for you to enjoy, but I can tell you absolutely and completely that you will love everything you taste at Sarlos & Sons. It's sarlosandsons.com.
Hi, it's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio. And you know, when I'm not up in wine country, my absolute favorite place, and I mean favorite place to go, is beautiful, enchanting Catalina Island. My goodness, if you haven't been to Catalina lately, you just don't know what you're missing. Catalina is a very wine-friendly island. All the restaurants have great wine lists, and Catalina even has its own vineyard now. Now, when I go to Catalina, I stay with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You can tour nearly 200 properties at CatalinaVacations.com. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals has everything you could want for every taste, from quaint cottages in Avalon to beautiful, stunning Hamilton Cove villas that even come with your own golf cart. You can make your reservation right online at CatalinaVacations.com. And really, the choices are nearly endless. Get away to Catalina Island today at CatalinaVacations.com. As I look back over the last year and a half, it's amazing to me how many of the guests that we've had on Grape Encounters Radio came to us through Facebook. You know, it's staggering how big the wine-loving community is on Facebook. And we really, really want you to become a member of the Grape Encounters Radio group page. So please, next time you're on Facebook, just search for Grape Encounters Radio. You'll find our group page, and join the crowd and join the fun. You're going to discover a whole lot of really interesting people there. And if you just peruse the posts on Grape Encounters Radio, I think you'll make some additional friends that will really, really expand your wine-loving experience. Again, it's Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. It's the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. And we really, really want you to become our friend. And by the way, when you're there, let us know topics that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
When there's good wine involved, they'll always come back for more. Grape Encounters continues on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
so who sang that song, Saving the Best for Last? David Wilson here at this awesome wine tasting event. It's a trade event put on by Wine Warehouse. And all day we've been trying to get these guys from the Donati Family Vineyard. And I got Mark Donati here. I know you're a family member, Mark. And then, but next to you, got Ian Hudson. A Hudson Donati? No, I don't think so. You're not part of the family, Ian. What's going on?
Still working on my adoption papers.
Oh, are you? Ian's the winemaker.
That's right.
And Mark, you are the...
The grand poobah of all things Donati wine in Templeton, California.
You know, if you're not familiar with Templeton, you're just shy of Paso Robles, right?
Correct.
And that is south. All right, so let's talk about Donati. How many family members in the Donati family?
I have two other brothers. I have an older brother, Brad, and I have a younger brother, Matt. So there's three boys, and we all drove my mother and my father crazy growing up. My two brothers run the vineyard, and I run the winery side of things.
Oh, man. Okay, so this is really hitting home with me because I have two older brothers, and for as long as, well, I was going to say as long as we could drink, but actually we were making wine on the ranch that we lived on, you know, when we were like 4 or 5 years old, I think. But we've always had this dream. It was going to be the Wilson Brothers Winery.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, not so sweet. It never happened. So the closest I can get to making wine is talking about it, well, which is okay probably because this is a less dirty job than your job, right?
It can be very dirty at times, right?
When did the brothers Donati decide to make wine?
Well, it all started with my father in 1998. We started our vineyard, which is in Piscinas, California, which is north of here. So my father, Ron, and my younger brother, Matt, they got into the grape growing business in 1998. And then in 2003, we decided to come out with our first vintage in our label. And 2003 to 2006, basically, we were having our wines made in Paso Robles at a custom crush facility out there. And then at that time, we decided we wanted to control the entire winemaking process ourselves from the vineyard all the way through bottling. So we went down to Templeton, we bought the property, cleaned it all up, and refurbished the property, and we've been making wines out of there ever since.
Are there a lot of opportunities like that for people who want to get into winemaking? I know, you know, the economy's tight right now. Are there facilities that come available from time to time?
Well, I would think in this economy, yeah, there's probably a few wineries out there that could be found. You know, it's certainly one of those things that, you know, you better have a passion for it, and you better want to do it because it's certainly not an easy business. There's a lot of competition in it, and so I would recommend that if anyone is interested in doing it, that they better do some research and do some due diligence.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Probably do that and be a glutton for some punishment. But you know, it's a fun business. It's like any other business, though. You get out of it what you put into it. If you work hard at it, and chip away at it, you know, you should find some success. Obviously, you got to have a good product. It all starts with the product, and luckily we have a stellar winemaker here with Ian Hudson with us, and he's a young fella that he feels got a real bright future.
He does. So. In fact, I was watching him walk around this event, and he got carded like 47 times. Let me talk to Ian for a second. Ian, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but...
26 years old.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're disclosing.
No, that's it. 26.
26, and...
As long as I don't screw up, they'll still let me make in their wine.
But the minute that you do screw up, there's going to be a horse's head in your bed.
Exactly. They're Italian, so, you know, I don't want to get to that point, so...
Where did you guys come upon young Ian?
I started in the tasting room. Originally, when I was in high school, I got involved in agriculture through the FFA, raising market pigs, so I went to Fresno State thinking that I was going to raise pigs for the rest of my life, and my dad said, "What the heck are you doing? You really want to raise pigs? Why don't you check out this enology thing?" And I had never even put wine in my mouth before thinking about it.
You couldn't even spell enology.
I couldn't even spell it, or viticulture, or even knew what enology was prior to going on to it. But my dad convinced me. I think it was all for a wine discount in the end. He wanted a wine discount to
get cheap wines through his son.
That's
I
right.
Love that.
So I went to Fresno State for about 3.5 years. Got an internship with Scheid Vineyards in Greenfield, large commercial vineyard and winery. And then found the Donatis when I transferred to Cal Poly. Chased my wife down there and started in the tasting room. And it was all history from there. Moved from the tasting room in 2007 to making wine with them.
Now back to the brothers Donati story for a second. So, Italian family, here's my vision, okay? You're sitting around the table, big bowl of pasta, and you're drinking a little Chianti probably from the homeland, right?
Drinking a little vino, yeah.
And you guys are talking about your careers. I guess you were farmers, right?
We were great farmers. Actually, our family's history primarily was from the Silicon Valley. My father was in the electronics industry for a lot of years.
You're totally so, blowing the image now. Come on.
It all kind of ties in because
when he was a boy,
his dream was to own his own winery and vineyards and make wines and sell grapes. And so later in life, he realized, you know, he had an opportunity to chase that dream. And so he did. And so he brought his sons into the business. And so
were you guys all in love with that idea?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, family businesses are very challenging, and there's certain discrepancies you have with each other over the course of time. So
discrepancies that you have.
There, to put it nicely. But in the end, you know, we're family, and we work it out. And so, we all kind of had the same vision. We all are cut kind of from the same mold on where we want to take the winery and where we want to take our product. So... it's all worked out real well. We all have our roles, and nobody steps on each other's feet, so it works out.
I can't even imagine. Is your dad hands-on?
He's pretty hands-on, but at the same time, you know, he allows us to, do what we're supposed to do. So he just kind of oversees a lot of the operations and puts a lot of trust in us, and so far, so good. So
are you getting out of your wines what you expected to get? I mean, are you proud of what you're doing? I'm sure you're proud of what you're doing, but, I mean, are you personally... feeling that you have accomplished what you set out to do?
Well, we certainly have
or
not.
Or better?
We have not accomplished what we want to do at this point. We're accomplishing it, and it's a continuous process to get to where we want to go. We're a relatively small winery. So, you know, as a small winery, you got to really hustle and be active and get involved and work the various markets. And like I said, you know, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And if you don't work real hard, luckily I came from a background of where you had to, you know, work for everything you have in this world. So
yeah, amen.
We're used to hard work. It's not something out of the ordinary. It's the norm for us. So for us, it's a continual everyday process of working hard. And
where do you fall in the pecking order among your brothers? Youngest, oldest, middle?
I'm the middle.
You're the middle?
I'm the middle, yeah.
Were you guys a family that went out and worked on the weekends around the property? Yeah, that's lost on most kids today. Yeah. You know, parents feel guilty about even assigning chores like taking out the trash.
Me and my brothers worked since I was 8 years old. I basically knew what I was doing on my summers and vacations and started off picking weeds and cleaning parking lots, and now here I am running a winery. So.
Hey, Ian, what about you? What was it like growing up?
Same thing. I'm the middle child, too, so you're always seeking attention. So, my family's all been in the educational field. Both parents were administrators or principals or teachers. My two brothers are teachers, so I had to do something different. Might as well be cool and make wine. It sounded cool in the end. Little did I know I wasn't going to have a life and have a winery widow back at home asking where I am or when I'm going to be home. But it's all worth it in the end. It's a great business to be in. It's a great family to work for. They have really good working ethics, and all they want is the best for themselves and their customers, and providing great products for everybody who is willing to taste them.
So give me a quick rundown on what you guys are making there.
We make several wines for the whites. We make a Pinot Blanc, a Pinot Grigio, and Chardonnay. We just released a new Chardonnay we're pretty excited about. It's a stainless steel, no oak, no malolactic Chardonnay that retails for around $13.99.
I normally play the hallelujah chorus when I hear no oak on Chardonnay just because it's a little personal.
Well, I mean, as a millennial, I want to see something different. What the norm of big oaky 15% alcohol Chardonnay, I think, is kind of dwindling down. People want wines they can drink casually without food. So on the red side, though, we've got some great wines. One of them is Clarets, by our most popular wines, about 3,000 cases for our 2007 wines, and that's a great blend that's fun to teach people about. Claret's something you don't see anymore, for one. The EU put a stop from anybody putting claret on the label. They don't want to see anybody defaming them, but I think it's quite the contrary for us. I think we make a great claret, nice Bordeaux-style blend, as well as our Merlot and Cab. It's just the most difficult thing we do is try to get our point of Piscinas across. Piscinas is about 27 miles east of Monterey Bay. Nobody knows about it. It's a one-horse town. That's why we didn't decide to put a winery there. Nobody come to visit us. Nobody would come to try the wines in the same amount of crowd that we get in Templeton. In Templeton, we get people coming there all the time, by the thousands every weekend.
It's a cool town. You have to get off the highway, don't you, to really discover and enjoy Templeton. But once you get in there, it's a cute, very Americana-style town.
Yeah, there's 210 wineries. So
no kidding.
You get a big difference. I mean, the biggest difference for us is we don't make any Paso wines. So it's a nice unknown for everybody to cruise in, discover Piscinas in our tasting room.
So if they want to discover the winery, where do they go?
You can visit us at our tasting room in Templeton, right off Highway 46 West. You can also visit us online at www.donatiwine.com. Those are the two best places. Also, look for us in any of your local retail and restaurant establishments.
Are you guys getting pretty good distribution?
We're getting great distribution.
Awesome.
We are relatively new with Wine Warehouse here, so we've been with them since February, and they've been fantastic. So
yeah, you're with the best, no doubt about that.
They were the top of our list, and luckily for us, we got them, so we're real happy and real excited.
You made the cut, so we know it's good. Oh, my gosh, Donati Family Vineyard. Check it out. Check them out online. Better yet, you know what? Just go spend a weekend up there. Go spend a week up there and just have some fun, because you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it, and you deserve Donati Family Wines. Love it. I'm so excited every time I hear about a bunch of brothers that get together and do something constructive for the world. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate
Thanks,
you
Dave.
Being here.
So what if this one's empty? We've got plenty more. Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
All right, well, there's no denying it. I have a gadget fetish. I have so many gadgets in my kitchen, and I love wine gadgets, but you know, there's one thing that I use really every single day. It's an essential, and I don't know if you can really call it a gadget. I think it is something absolutely necessary if you're gonna enjoy your wine to the fullest. I was sent a Vinair wine aerator, and this really is, I think, the best design aerator that I've ever seen. For one thing, there's absolutely no drip. For another thing, the amount of air that it puts into your wine, it seems to be absolutely perfect. It does an awesome job of opening up your wine to the absolute fullest. And I really, truly love this product. I really, really do. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We've put a button there for the Vinair. Please, please let your wine breathe. It'll thank you for it. And it's David Wilson here with Brooks Firestone and Stephen Pepe. And we wanted to tell you about the Cellar Classic. It's coming up when, Brooks?
July 30th. At the St. Mark's Church in Los Olivos, in the middle of the wine country in Santa Ynez Valley. We're going to have a wine classic auction and a great time up here. Hope you join us.
And there's going to be some great stuff. Steve, tell them what they can expect.
You've got to have some really world-class wines. You've got a 47 Cheval Blanc, a 75 Chateau.
Whoa, I thought that was for me.
No, I'm sorry, David. You can just look at it and drool, but you can't have it.
And that bottle's worth what?
It's easily in the mid-four figures, if not higher.
Ouch. And how many wines like that will you have at the Cellar Classic?
We'll have a fair number. We've also got a 1949 Leroy Moussonet, which is a very rare wine. We've got a double magnum of a 1989 Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill.
It's the Cellar Classic on July 30th. For more information, go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the very expensive little button there.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
Looking for a really good wine club to join? I really recommend the original Wine of the Month Club. It's a really terrific wine club, and you will find a link to the Wine of the Month Club over at grapeencountersradio.com. This isn't a shameless paid endorsement. We're endorsing the Wine of the Month Club because we really, really believe in what they're doing over there, and we really think the quality of their products are out of this world. Also, just for fun, on grapeencountersradio.com, you will find a link to Papa Burt's, where you will find the wine sports bra. Yes, indeedy, it's a bra that you can fill up with a full bottle of your favorite wine. It is simply the best invention that we've found in a long time. So check out what we've got to offer over at grapeencountersradio.com, and be sure to also visit all of our other friends who are linked to grapeencountersradio.com. Check it out, folks.
There's something funny about this wine. Grape Encounters continues with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
My heart is drenched in wine.
Okay, for you gadget lovers, it's the best part of the Grape Encounters radio show. I've got our go-to guy, our gadget guru, Matt Dubow, Vice President, Epic Styles. It's the place, man. If you want stuff to go with your wine drinking love affair, Matt's got it. Thousands of products. You can get them in stores all over the world, wineries all over the world, or you can just go to epicstyle.com. But Matt, I appreciate you being here. There were a couple of products we didn't get to last week, and I want to hit those first, and then I want to talk about a subject that I think that is near and dear to both of us. First, right. Tell me what you have over here. This is like a giant.
It looks like a giant bubble wrap thing. And what it is, it's called the wine skin. And there's different versions of this. And what this device was made to do, and it's in the shape of a wine bottle, and it's bubble wrap, is you put your bottle of wine inside this, and it has tape on the bottom, and you close it up. And you can put this in your suitcase when you're traveling. And what the great thing about this is that even if the wine bottle breaks, and hopefully it doesn't, the tape on the bottom seals it so it doesn't leak all over your luggage.
It's not going to leak at all.
It's not.
It's like a wine diaper, Matt, really.
It is.
I think that the wineskin people, or Epic Style, should offer an insurance policy to go along with this.
It never happened.
Why not?
We'll let the airlines handle that.
You put in your $200 bottle of wine in the wineskin. It breaks. And Epic Style pays for it for you.
Well, why don't the clothing companies pay for that as well, since your clothes are in there, or the toiletries?
Yeah, good idea. So, yeah, that's a good idea, and those aren't very expensive, and you can buy a bunch of those. Now, you've got this. last week, it seemed like everything had sort of a sexual connotation to it, and now you're showing me this device.
So
made by Bosch?
I'm a big gadget guy, and I don't know how many people have an iPad, and I have this app called Flipboard. And I was on Flipboard looking at gizmo.com or something, and this device came up from Bosch, the European company that makes all
those tools.
Yeah, tools and washing machines and all sorts of fancy devices. And I came across this Bosch screwdriver, corkscrew, and it looks like one of those handheld drills, you know, those battery-operated drills with a giant corkscrew on the end of it.
So that's for those who can't get it out quick enough.
I just thought it was just an amazing device.
You know what? If you're that aggressive about getting your cork out, you need that glass of wine.
I think for anybody who watched Tim the Toolman Taylor, this would be the perfect item.
Okay, so Bosch is into the cork extraction business. Okay.
I don't know if this is available in the States yet.
So this isn't even one of your products.
This isn't even one of our products.
You're such a good guy. You actually promote things that you don't even sell.
Well, of course. I want everybody to experience all that's out there in gadgets.
Okay, but if you want great gadgets, you can go to epicstyle.com. They got scads of them and other wonderful things. And in fact, we're going to give away today, again, three cork cages. And here's what you got to do. You need to go over to the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page, not the fan page, the group page. If you know Facebook, you'll figure that out. And again, we're going to ask you to tell us your recommendation
of what you think Grape Encounters radio listeners ought to be drinking, because we want to spread the word. You know, it needs to be a good value, and also it needs to be accessible. And if we select your suggestions, and we're going to select three, and we're going to talk about it next week on the air, then guess what? You get a cork cage. We're going to send it to you. It's not a contest. It's just a reward, right?
Right. For okay. Giving us your information.
Okay. Now, speaking of information about wines.
Yes.
We were talking about this off the air, and I so need to talk to you about this. So many times I will have a great bottle of wine, and I'll think that when I finish the wine that I've committed it to memory, and I'm going to know where I got it and what it was, and I'm going to be able to buy it again. And guess what?
Always forget.
I always forget, and I always end up getting the wrong bottle. It's right. Something that, you know, it's a vintage earlier or later or something. It's a cab instead of a Zin or whatever it is. But I always screw it up. And you have a solution, you said.
Well, I don't necessarily have a solution because I have the same problem as well. But we do have a couple items that could help you. And the first one is called a label off. And what it does, it's almost like a piece of tape that fits over the label. And you attach it to the wine label and pull it off. And the label will be attached to essentially the piece of tape to where you can put it in a book and keep track of all the wines that you drank.
What it's actually doing, it's leaving part of the paper, I'm guessing, on the bottle.
Right,
and
the part with the
glue. It's just taking the top layer.
The top layer of the label. It leaves the glue.
And it looks good?
It does look good. It looks really good.
I've never seen that, and that's a really good idea because I have tried so many times to soak a label off a bottle, and it doesn't work very well.
No, this is the best way to do it, and it will take the whole label off intact, and you can place it in a book. You can create your own, but there's also wine journals out there that have enough space that you can put the label within the book.
Now, it's kind of like almost waxing for your bottle, right?
I haven't
done
that.
You put it on there, and you rip it off, and there it is.
If that suits you, yes.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that came to mind, but that was the image I got.
A you little inside to David Wilson.
You know, but it makes sense to keep a wine journal, and I think most people don't. And the truth is, you know, it's kind of like taking vitamins. We all know we need to do it, but we get very lazy about it. How do you get yourself disciplined to do that?
It's difficult because I have a tough time doing it. And we also sell another item. It's a mini wine journal that actually you can put in your pocket and take with you. But sometimes it's just hard to remember these things, and especially if you're out to dinner and you have a couple glasses or a bottle or two. You don't want to write this down because you're enjoying your dinner. So it gets to be difficult. And now there's all these apps that you can, you know, write all these down. And then I just saw an app today that uses an iPhone, and you can take a picture of the label, and it has, I don't know, 10,000 different wines in it, and it captures it in your iPhone.
No, and it actually identifies the wine?
It identifies the wine and gives you reviews on the wine.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, amazing.
Seriously. Because what I was going to say is I use my iPhone sometimes when I want to remember something. I just use the camera as a means of remembering something.
The exact same thing?
Except this one can identify what's on the label and put it into a journal, I guess?
Yeah, in your journal inside your phone. Amazing apps. This whole thing is just amazing.
It's crazy. We did a show on apps not too terribly long ago, but we need to revisit them because there's a lot more of them. And in fact, tell you what, when you go to the Grape Encounters group page to try to get a cork cage from Matt, mm-hmm. you might also just suggest some cool apps. Will we award those people a cork cage as well?
Sure, why not?
But only three, right?
Only three.
Okay, that's it. So it's just the Grape Encounters Facebook page, the group page. You can go there and you can get into this. But gosh, if you're into gadgets and you really want to see cool stuff, seriously, and it's why we have him here because, I mean, who else are we going to go to? He has the world market cornered on wine-related gadgets. We go to Matt DeBow and we go to epicstyle.com. You can go there. It's the greatest shopping. You can probably do all of your holiday shopping right there. You don't have to go anyplace else. And the prices are pretty cheap, by the way.
They're very reasonable. And please come to epicstyle.com for all your holiday shopping.
All right, Matt, that's it. You're going to have more gizmos for us next week?
I definitely will, every week.
Love having you on Grape Encounters. Love the fact that you're all listening. Really appreciate you folks that are downloading us online, as well as those of you who tune us in on the radio. We so appreciate you and so glad that you're part of our family. You can listen to all of the past episodes of Grape Encounters Radio at grapeencountersradio.com. And if you just want to drop us a line, you can do that there as well. We will see you next week. Until then, keep your glass half full. And if it's half empty, keep a full bottle nearby.
Join us next week for more Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson here on grapeencountersradio.com. If you don't, we'll be crushed.